This is the second episode of my interview, my dialogue with Tom Erik Ankel. Hello, Tom.
Hello. Oh, pleased to meet you again.
Hello again. Tom, we talked about how you came to your dialogical network oriented methods. We talked about dialogical spaces. We've talked about the otherness, the uniqueness, and the relational view, which is important. And then you talked about the multi-agency models you experienced and your experiments with them. And in the end, I referred to something you've got in your pocket for the professionals, which is the anticipation dialogue. And maybe we could start with this. What is it?
Well, in the first episode, for there are listeners who or viewers who saw that, but to those who joined us now, we started to develop some more than 30 years ago means for professionals to get unstuck in situations where there are several professionals from their own agencies working with the same cases, so that there could be a social worker, there could be a family therapist, there could be a physician, medical doctor, there could be a teacher if there's a child at school, depending on what the needs are. If there are multiple needs, there would be multiple professions. And each of these would be approaching the same situation from their tasks and their point of view, doing what they are trained to do and doing their best. But the integration might get troubled or might get stuck. And this is not, you mustn't blame the professionals, but because this is the how work has been organized. Not going into it for a long period of time, but if you think of sociology of modernity, it means that that specialization has spread in the whole society. Mm-hmm. And what we're dealing with helping or pedagogics or whatever, also human services, is that there's a fragmentation of work, specialization of work, where, for example, emotional questions are separated from financial questions, and you're unemployed and maybe your teenager has problems at school and so on. In the family life, in the real life of patients and clients and citizens, these are integrated questions. But you slice them according to your division of labor, and you slice life. And because life is not fragmented, it's comprehensive. So it's very difficult to integrate the work so that it would be integrated in the same way as it is in the life of the people. So what we were working on was how to try to help professionals to find more comprehensive work. And the first stage, you know, because, you know, if the integration is not working, there will be frustrated people, not just the clients, but also the professionals, because they are doing their best and things are not moving as they would wish. And they would wish more control of the situation, but because of the division of labor, they don't have control of others. Mm-hmm. The teacher doesn't have control of the social worker. The social worker doesn't have control of what the teacher is doing. But when they meet, they will sort of expect the others. They will tell the others how they should change their work. although they don't have this control, and they, it leads into meetings that resemble more a tennis match than a dialogue. And this is situations, you know, people are trying to get unstuck, and we try to develop means of getting unstuck. And the first version was that we invited the professionals of a certain case. They have a case they're working with. They're not just representatives of some institute, but they are actually personally involved working with this family or this case. Mm-hmm. And we invited these professionals, and then we invited them together, but the clients were there, not in this first version, to anticipate what would happen if they do something appropriately different. Mm-hmm. And this was very successful, but at the same time, I became uneasy about this because we were still meeting behind the backs of the people. Mm-hmm. So I thought that this is not ethical. It's successful, but not ethical. And also I felt that how will it be successful, you know, long lasting? Will it really make a change in the life of the patients and the clients? So we then asked these multi-professionals, these people, that okay, next time could you actually invite also the clients, the family, whoever they find important, that they would be, you know, it could be the best friends, it could be anyone, bring the network, mm-hmm. not just professional network, but the private network. Mm-hmm. Could you do that? And they said, yes. With sort of, are you sure you're asking this? And yeah, please do it. That, and we, I still remember this. It's more than 30 years ago, but in this city we had two meetings. Mm-hmm. It was, we didn't, you know, we had to travel there and to the city, so that we had two meetings: an after morning meeting with multi-professional network, and an afternoon meeting, and a break in between. And it was of this type until mm-hmm. then that there wasn't a family present. Okay, we had this morning meeting, no family, it was business as usual in this sense, anticipation dialogues version one, and then we went to the break, mm-hmm. lunch, and then 20 minutes walking in a park, mm-hmm. getting ready for the next meeting, and I noticed on the way out that I don't know this person. We had met the professionals so many times that we knew them by face at least.
Yes.
It's something I don't know. And I asked my colleague, Essa, could be a client this time. He said, yeah, it could be. And then we started thinking, what if the family is there? And our questions, now for the people who were not present last time, our questions for the professionals were, what happens if you do nothing? The first question to professionals, mm-hmm. each at their time, separating, talking and listening, others mm-hmm. listening. What happens if you do nothing? The second question, what could you do, what could be helpful and appropriately different? Mm-hmm. And the third question, what happens if mm-hmm. you do? Who mm-hmm. responds to these questions? So we start. We have these questions that we're working so nicely with mm-hmm. the professional. Can we ask the same questions from the family? Mm-hmm. What happens if you do nothing? These are people who come for help.
Yes.
And then, what do you mean, do nothing? Mm-hmm. And my colleague, Essa, who was a trained as a psychologist, family therapist, and he had been working in mental hospitals. And he said that it could be a dangerous, suicidal case.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
you don't suggest anything like that. It could be something that the people feel that they are in danger. Mm-hmm. You don't know what happens if you do nothing. Mm-hmm. This certainly is unethical. You don't ask questions like that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Our first question out. What could you do appropriately different from the family? Make them think like professionals? Maybe, okay, yeah, but it's a bit different. Mm-hmm. What happened? We have to think everything from scratch. We have 20 minutes. There might be a family. Looks like we have a family. We have to go. We have to meet them and the professionals. What are we going to do? We are the facilitators. We have promised that, okay, bring the family and we'll help you to get unstuck. Those who listen to the first part, notice that as facilitators, we were only asking questions, not a bit of advice. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to know anything about the case in advance. We only wanted to know what sort of a worry there is and why do we have this meeting, but not case mm-hmm. history, so that this would protect us from starting to guide is it in some mm-hmm. direction. Well, as I'm my colleague, he was a very experienced client worker, psychologist, mm-hmm. family therapist. I was not. So Esa had a lot of means of control, systemic therapy and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot about it, but I'm not trained in it. So I was more of a novice in this case. So we started thinking that, okay, how do we continue with this, that we are only asking questions, not trying to guide mm-hmm. any sort of goal, but just trying to help these people to reflect and find themselves, okay? And I had been with my brother, who's a psychologist, as a consultant for firms, for companies. Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting approaches that we tried with my brother was sort of backcasting, writing letters from the future.
Writing letters from the future. Okay.
Yeah. So that if you have a situation in an organization, could be client work also, where you are worried about what's going to happen to us because we have this organizational change going on, mm-hmm. and we are afraid what's going to happen to our team, mm-hmm. what's going to happen with our work. A lot of people have all the time experiences of changes in organizations, and you might be unhappy, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Backcasting system was the letters from the future was that, okay, the change has been made, it was fine, and there are letters telling you how it went from the future.
So I imagine you're still in the park with your colleague, and you got this idea, you're thinking of your brother, you're thinking of the letter from the future.
Let's try something, you know, that, okay, we went to an organization as consultants for an organization that was dealing with work with handicapped people. And it was a public organization, and they had to go private mm-hmm. on the market. Mm-hmm. And they were not just worried, they were afraid, what's going to happen to us, you know, from this private arrangement to the markets mm-hmm. with handicapped people. We have to sell ourselves and so on and so mm-hmm. on, sell our work. They were really worried. Okay, on the way, we discussed with my brother, okay, let's try letters from the future, but mm-hmm. let's make a change, not just letters, all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And we suggested to these people, this organization and the managers and the staff there, that, okay, the change has been made. It was a success. Mm-hmm. We formed groups. Your group, go and write a thank you letter by the patients. Mm-hmm. and their families. Thanking mm-hmm. you of this successful change, this group write the speech, thank you speech of the mayor of mm-hmm. the city. Mm-hmm. You go and write the thank you words by the trade union.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so on. Mm-hmm. And they went into these groups. We gave them an hour to, I can't remember how much time. And they came back smiling. Mm-hmm. And then they gave the speech of the mayor. And with all the manners, you know, okay. they were laughing because it was, sounded and looked like the mayor.
Okay.
But they got these thanks. Then the trade union, then the family members of the patients themselves, and so on, so the handicapped people, and the various counterparts. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it sounded pretty good, you know. Okay, they were thanking this trade union, different thanks.
Okay.
And then we said, okay, now, please discuss between yourselves, and I can't remember, did we send them back to the groups? How do you get those thanks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make this happen. How would you, what do you have to do to get those thanks from the trade union, from the mayor, from the clients?
Mm-hmm.
What will you do to get these thanks?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what they would be thanking you for.
Okay.
And they made a plan, which was great, and they were happy. So I started experimenting this when I was doing supervision with organizations. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay. So when we were walking, we had the 20 minutes. I told Esa, my colleague, that I've done something like this with my brother. Shall we try something like this with the family? And okay, how shall we do it? Not sending them into groups. But then, okay, one thing that we will do, we go in the future.
Yes.
In the near future, and things are better. Okay? We asked the people, you know, how far would you want to go into the future? A year, six months, something like that. Not too far, because life is full of things happening in 3 years, 4 years, and so on. Could be a year or so. Okay. Then we go there.
Mm-hmm.
I see. We were there. We are there now. And then we recall, how did we get there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first question would be...
So maybe, Tom, maybe we could... It's just an idea, because we were talking about maybe showing it to the people with me. Like, you asking these questions, knowing that it's not an appropriate demonstration of an anticipation dialogue meeting, but maybe it's going to be more tangible for our viewers out there.
Yeah, let's do that. But first, I would like to tell people who are following this, if we have someone there. The first question was, the things are fine, you know, better. What makes you especially happy? So, you know, you're not talking about the whole context. What makes you especially happy? The second question is, what did you do to get there? So that, you know, things, you know, not everyone else, but you. And the third is, what were you worried about a year ago? We are in the future, but, you know, if it's a year ago. And the last point, what made you less worried? You don't end up with asking what were you worried about, because that would be the last note.
Mm-hmm.
What made you less worried? And people, when they tell them what made you less worried, that's the plan, you know. You just pick up the fragments of the plan. So that these were the questions. We had six questions to start with, you know. We experimenting, let's come back to that. What happened with the first episode after the 20 minutes, but we then tried to restrict this to the core, and we from the six, we came to three questions, but below that, not possible for us. It would be these three questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we could demonstrate. We don't have a network, but demonstrate the question.
Yes, I'm ready.
You have a worry?
Yes, I do have a worry because I've used anticipation dialogue in a family without independent facilitators. I've used it alone in an outpatient service, which is paid by the Youth Welfare Service Office. And I was thinking, or my worry is, how could I do it with other professionals present? So I've got, there's social worker, there's the school, there's another psychotherapist for a child. And I'm worrying if it's possible. And yes, I'm not sure. I would like to do it, but I'm not sure if I should do it and if I can do it.
Okay, fine. I'm writing this down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think these are the professionals who perhaps would be present? Who else from the child?
The family, yeah. The parents, I guess it would be the parents. Not sure if a child would come along, but the parents, there's parents and two children. I'm thinking of a particular case because I've had helper conferences in this case already. So I was thinking maybe I could use an anticipation question or anticipation dialogue for this, but I didn't do it so far with other professionals present.
Okay, but this is, the case is around, is concerning the child,
mm-hmm.
and you are not sure if the child would be present?
Yes.
Why is that?
In the network meeting, I'm not sure because they weren't present until now, so...
There are two
children, and
yeah.
They haven't been present for in the professional meetings.
So okay.
In the helper conferences.
Okay, but the work concerns, you know, it's dealing with the children, not just one child.
Yes, it's two. It's two children, and there are worries about both of them.
Okay. Now I'm asking these questions to get my some sort of an idea of the context. I am not asking, and I don't know and don't want to know more of what the work has been or what the professional ideas are or deeper into the the worries. And you notice that I use the word worry instead of problem. Because if I asked about problems, it would be each person's definition of the situation. But that, because, and it might be different views about this, but if I ask about worries, I ask about subjective feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Every person has their worries. There's no debate about that. Mm-hmm. There could be debate about the problem definitions. Mm-hmm. I prefer to ask about worries. Okay, but I won't ask deeper into them. But I want, there's something that I think that, you know, when we have these meetings, if the work is around, sort of, you know, the context is about child or children,
mm-hmm.
it would be so great to have them in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are a lot of meetings where teenagers especially, perhaps, have experiences that they wouldn't be happy to have a network meeting with a lot of professionals. Because, you know, mm-hmm. this might happen. But if there's any possibility to suggest to the child that, or the adolescents, that, okay, would you come and perhaps listen?
I think that's possible. Yes. Yeah. I think that's possible.
And if you want to join, you're welcome. Yeah. If not, just listen. But it would be great if you would listen. Okay. And that already starts to make possibilities for a network dialogue. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is your you said that your worry is about should you and can you, you writing down your words, have a meeting like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have these thoughts. If and you're thinking that you perhaps might want to try.
Yes, I'd like to try, but my worries are that it may sound too strange for the other professionals, and they may think I'm a lunatic asking doing this traveling thing, and that's my particular worry that they don't go along with it.
Okay.
They find it too strange, too unusual. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I've come across many situations where professionals or family members think that, you know, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. But they very soon come to realize that this is actually you're handing a tool for them to communicate between themselves and to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for demonstration, we are demonstrating these questions, and it's not a network meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It means that we don't have the polyphony of voices, which would be great for dialogue, that you have several voices and you have the polyphony, you have more sort of space to move.
Yes.
But let's say you feel brave and you do it. Okay. When could that happen?
How
far in the future?
Well, there's a network meeting coming in 3 weeks, but I think it's a little soon. maybe in autumn.
Okay.
For another network meeting. Maybe in autumn, yeah.
Okay, but let's see, you know, after
a couple of months.
All right, okay. So let's make an experiment at 3 weeks.
Okay.
Or would you feel safer with the autumn meeting? Okay, that would be September.
Let's say September, yes.
Okay, September. I look up in my calendar. I always look because we have to have a real date. September. Would a Friday like this be all right?
Mm-hmm.
September Friday could be the 5th or 12th of September.
Okay, let's do the 5th.
5th? Okay. So it is now the 5th of September. And we last met in May. Great to meet you again, Victor.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Things have been well. I remember we discussed, you know, could you have this in a network meeting, and you did.
And
funny thing, you know, have you noticed that in meetings where people usually go and sit in the same places as they did the previous time. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed
that? Yes, I noticed that.
Well, we are sitting like we did previous time. Mm-hmm. Have you also noticed that, what I am surprised now that you're wearing the same clothes as in May.
Yes.
I'm wearing the same clothes, but you know, I like the shirt, so the jacket. Okay. So it's not a long time. It's just a couple of months, but it was a good change with the network. Now that you had the network meeting, what are you happy about?
I'm happy about that I was courageous. I'm happy about that I tried it because it was not, in the end, it was not too unusual. There was a lot of laughter in the room, and it was not so serious as I thought it would be.
Okay, great. That sounds good. You took the courage, and it was not too unusual. There was laughter, and not so serious. Okay, how did you manage to do that? What did you do to co-generate this atmosphere?
I think I myself not being too serious about it, and more proposed it as an experiment. Yes, so I was more easy about it than I felt back then. It didn't felt so hard, so heavy.
Okay, you proposed it as an experiment.
Yes.
And you were not so serious. Mm-hmm. How did people respond?
They were quite happy looking back, because it felt easy for them as well that something changed. Even the other professionals, it felt lighter.
Okay. Was there something in the response? You know, you could say that it was really helpful for you to that this person.
Yes,
responded.
I've heard hopefulness.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefulness, especially from some people. Or... you can remember.
Yeah, I think it was mostly the school representatives.
Okay.
That were more hopeful.
All right. Okay. Yes.
And the child as well.
Child as well.
Yeah.
And the child was also feeling less serious and more happy about it, or blah.
Mm-hmm. Although it was a bit strange, but okay. Still okay.
Okay.
For the child, it was more of a play.
Okay.
Like more of a game. Something that could be fun as well.
Okay. So let's go back to the start. And before this meeting, in the invitation, did you somehow indicate that there would be experiment, or was it?
Yes. I did talk to the social worker before, because we have a good connection, and I did tell her about it and ask her opinion about it and what she thinks, and so that she's prepared for what will happen.
Okay.
Yes. And I talked to the parents as well. And I told them, you know, we've done this before. Uh-huh. I'm going to try it with the other present.
All right. Okay. So you had the social worker and the parents who knew about this?
Yes.
Okay. And at the beginning of the meeting, did you introduce it in some how to the participants?
I would do it the same way as I did with the family because it worked fine. I would say I'm inviting you to a trial.
Did you do it?
I did. Yeah, I did. I did introduce it as time traveling.
Uh-huh.
As a time traveling experiment.
Okay. Can you recall your words, how you did it?
I'd like to try something with you. And maybe it could feel easier to think about the situation from the future when things are better. And it's an experiment, and I'd like to invite you to it, a time traveling experiment.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes. Did you discuss this opening with the social worker in advance? Did you?
No.
Okay.
So but maybe, didn't... yeah, no, not particularly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you did it. This is how you did it in the meeting.
This is how I did it, yeah.
Okay.
I also said it may be a little strange.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. And as you said, it went then well. There was less seriousness. There was laughter. Did you actually come up with ideas of how to go forward mm-hmm. with the people?
Yes. How they respond? I think new ideas. Yes.
As you remember.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Did you somehow write them down? Because, you know, what we do mm-hmm. normally is that mm-hmm. we have
Now that you say it, I did.
You did? Okay. Yes. So that you had some sort of public notes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now that you say
you remember. Okay.
I remember,
did you have... someone to write them, or did you try to write them at the same time?
I'd say I had someone to write it.
You had someone to write
it? Yes. I asked the social worker if she would do it.
Ah, you asked the social worker if she would do it. Okay, that's a good idea. You know, mm-hmm. that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was... you were talking in advance with the social worker and then did you introduce the idea that you would actually ask for help? For
mm-hmm.
Okay, you did, and she was making the notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my third question would be, if you look back to when we last had the meeting on video in May, what especially were you worried about, and what made your worries smaller along the way?
I was worried about not being neutral enough to conduct such an experiment, the space dog, that I was too much part of the system because I don't have an external facilitator to do it.
Okay. So what made you worry smaller about that?
I think I talked about it to my supervisor and asked her if it was a good idea and how I could manage being neutral or how about this topic. And that lessened my worries.
That lessened when you talked with the supervisor.
Also, I asked you again, and I talked to you again.
Ah, okay.
Between September,
Yes, I think I remember that.
In the summer.
Yeah, in the summer, I was hesitant to give any advice, but I was talking about some experiences. Yes, I remember. Mm-hmm. What did the supervisor say about, you know, can you still remember of his or her ideas about how to be less...
She was quite relaxed about it. She said, okay, if it worked with the family, why not try it? And okay, just and try it out.
Made you less worried.
Yes.
Okay. So what did you do then? Because what we usually do is that we come back from the future.
Yeah, okay. Let's come back because we have to watch the time a little.
No, but in the meeting.
In the meeting, okay.
Mm. Yeah. What we do is we come back from the future. Mm-hmm. We look at the public notes. Mm-hmm. And then we actively discuss with the people in present. Is this something you could actually do with trying to make a plan of next steps, not a whole year, but next steps. You do this, you do that, and you know. And if you have new ideas, you're not sort of fixed with what you said. You have heard others talk, and you might have new ideas. But what could you do, and what could you do, and how could these combine? Did you know, this is what we usually do. Did in September the 5th, did you do something like that?
Yes, I did exactly that. We watched the notes and we talked about it.
Okay, and then you sort of made a plan.
Yes.
Okay, congratulations. You know, this has been successful. How do you feel now after this dialogue that we had, anticipation dialogue that we had?
I feel a little more courageous because I think I could try it if I talk to my... And the new idea was that I talked to the social worker that I hadn't had before. So that was a new idea for me. And yeah, it came right now. I didn't have this idea before that I could use her also maybe for taking notes and informing her beforehand about it and talking to her what she thinks. And so that she's in the boat and the family's in the boat, and then there are more people in the boat, and maybe the other professionals wouldn't be too irritated about it, because for the others, it's okay. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
All right. The one point that came to my mind is that when you introduce this to the parents, maybe the children also, that, okay, you're making a time travel. Mm. I think that perhaps you could also tell them that this aims at finding out the next steps.
Yes, next steps.
But it's not just, you know, time travel for the sake of time travel. Mm-hmm. But
yes,
next concrete steps together.
Yes,
that is the idea.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
Tom, we're running out of time. Yeah. There's so much to ask and so much to say about it. I still got plenty of questions, and I hope our listeners do have questions and more questions than before, actually. That not anything is answered now. But I really, really enjoyed talking to you about it.
You can imagine if you had the social worker now with you here.
Yes.
Then this would be anticipating with him or her about the future, or some other people, that, you know, it would be a polyphony.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the idea. But okay, we tried to give an idea of the questions. I promised in the beginning that, you know, in my pocket I would find what happened with the anticipation dialogues. Should we have a meeting number 3, maybe?
I see.
I haven't told anyone. I haven't told the viewers happened.
Okay. Actually I would like to. Good idea.
Because it was a surprise. It was a big surprise.
Okay, great. Tom, thank you for your time and for all these interesting views on anticipation dialogues and dialogical spaces. And thank you also for all the listeners out there. And if you enjoyed our dialogue, we'd be glad if you share it with your colleagues and friends. And okay, goodbye, Tom.
Okay, auf Wiedersehen. I hope that it will be Wiedersehen so that we see again.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.